We're holding Chof Ches Amud Beis 10 lines from the bottom. We talked yesterday about various calibers of Talmid Chacham. We started talking about the difference between different kinds of aspedim, good morning, Ellie, between a hesped that you're allowed versus not allowed to make in a shul, where we said if it's a hesped of rabbim, that rabbim are going to be attending it, then you're allowed to. And we talked about, in that connection, different kinds of Talmid Chacham. So the Gemara says, further on this topic, Tnan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Udishtamish Besaga Cholof. It says in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Aleph, that someone who uses Toga, which means the crown of the Torah, Cholof will go away from the world. So you're not allowed to use the Toga. So what does that mean? Tony, Rish Lakish, so Rish Lakish taught a Braisa, Zamishtamish Vemishashrena Halochas Kisra Shal Torah. That refers to a person who makes use of somebody who learns halachas, which are the crown of the Torah. So if you use such a person and have him do work for, if one person uses such a person who learns halachas, then he's using or misusing the crown of Torah, and therefore chalof, he's going to go away, he's going to pass away from the world. Now, why are halachas called kisra shel Torah? So we have actually, the Alter Rebbe talks about it in Igeres Chofes. There's a whole Igeres on that topic that begins, Eishes Chayla, Teres Chayla, where the Alter Rebbe develops the idea that halachos are the rotzen of Hashem, and rotzen is associated with Keser. It's higher than everything else, that from that descends down the actual Moichin and Midas, and so forth. The develops the idea over there that through mitzvahs is how a person's neshama is able to go up and connect with Hashem and so on and so forth. And therefore, in that sense, the halachas can be called the crown of Torah. So now the shlokish is saying then that if you have one person who learns such halachas and then somebody else makes use of him, has him do work for him, then that second person is punished for that. Marshall points out, by the way, the word Toga is also an acronym for Talmud Gavra Achrina, which means the Talmud of somebody else. Where the person who learned the halachas is your own Talmud, then you are allowed to make use of him, as, in fact, we're going to have now in the Gemara. It's only when he's not your Talmud, then you have no right to be making use of him. So V'oma Ula, so in this connection, Ula says, L'shtamish inish v'manda toni abba. If a person does need somebody else's services, he does need somebody else to do some work for him, better it should be somebody who learns four sdarim of Mishnayos. In those days, they used to commonly learn only four out of the six sdarim. So in Bavel in particular, they would learn Moed, Noshim, Nezikim, and Kodshim. They wouldn't focus very much on Zroim, because most of the halachas of Zroim apply only in Eretz Yisrael. They wouldn't focus very much on Taras, because nowadays when there's no Beis Mikdash and no Parah Aduma, then most of those dinim are not applicable either. On the other hand, Kodshim, there's no Beis Mikdash either, but Kola Usik Vatoras Ola, Kehilu Ikrav Ola, the Gemara mentions at the end of Menachos that someone in Tamil Chachamim learn halachas of Korbanos, that it's considered as though they brought the Korbanos, therefore they would be Usik in those. We see that those are the four starim on which we have Gemara Bavli. No, Gemara Bavli was composed on Seder Zroyim or Taharis. When the Gemara comes along on a Mishnah, when there's mention of Mishnah from Zroyim or from Taharis, then the Gemara will take the time to expand on it and explain it, because there's not going to be a place to discuss it in its place. Anyway, so that's why Ola is using the expression four starim. So Ola is saying, at least if you have to, better to make use of a person who learns the four sdarim of Mishnayos, rather than making use of the services of somebody who teaches those four. Because in other words, that the person who teaches them is on an even higher level. Or the Rif and a number of other Rishonim have a different explanation, that Toni versus Masni, Toni would mean that he learns only the Mishnayos of them, Masni would mean that he learns the Gemara associated with them. So, because either way, the point is, if he's teaching those halachas, or if he's learning the Gemara associated with them, then he's on a much higher level, so then it's even worse to use the services of such a person. So the Gemara says, Ki hodir shlokish haba ozel ba'ucha. We have the example where a shlokish was once traveling on the road. Mata ukama demaya. He came to a pond or a lake or something that he needed to get across. Osahu gavra, a man came along, alkve akaste, he had Rish Lakish ride on his shoulders, become avale, and he's carrying him across. Omale, so Rish Lakish asks him, Karisa, have you learned Tanakh? Omale Karina, he says, yes. Tanisa, have you learned Mishnayas? He says, Tanina, I've bought Sidri Mishnah. He says, I've learned 4 Sidorim of Mishnayas. I've learned those, the Pashtas, the same 4 Sidorim that we're talking about, Moyad, Noshim, Nizikim, and Kodshim. Although since this was in Eretz Yisrael, they did focus on Seder Zeroyim over there, so there actually it might have been the 4 Sdorim on which we have Gemara Yerushalmi nowadays, namely Zeroyim, Moed, Noshim, and Nezikim. Whatever the case, the guy says, I learned four Sdorim of Mishnayos. Omalei, so the Shlokish was very impressed. He says, Pasalta Lacha, Ba Turi, you've carved out for yourself 4 mountains, because each of those Sdorim of Mishnayos is like a mountain of Torah. The Tanis Bar Lokish Akasvach, and you're carrying me, Ben Lokish, the Shim and Rich Lokish, on your shoulders, Shodi Bar Lokish Bamaya. Throw Rich Lokish into the water. In other words, I don't want it. It's not right. We just said that you're not allowed to make use of the services of somebody who learns Halachas of Torah, because that's the crown of Torah. You're learning such Halachas, so how can I be using your services and you're carrying me across the water? Throw me off into the water. But the guy says, no, nichale dashne in lamar. No, I would actually rather, I'd rather have the schus of serving you, Rebbe. So Rish Lakish tells him, ihochi, if you davka want to serve me, then in order to be able to do that, gmur mi niha milsa, then learn from me the following statement. In other words, the point is, when you learn this following halacha from me, which is not part of Mishnayos, part of Gemara, which you maybe didn't know before, when you do that, then I will be able to say that I have the right for you to serve me, because then you're my Talmud. There's also the idea. So again, part of the question is, before we talk about what the halacha was that Rish Lakish taught him, we had Ula saying that a person should better use the services of somebody that Tony, but not the services of somebody who Masni, where we said Masni has 2 possibilities. It can mean that he teaches other people, or it can mean that he himself learned the Gemara on it. Then we have now this story of Rish Lakish, where as soon as he hears that the guy learned 4 Sdonim of Mishnayos, he's right away ready to say, I don't want to use your services. It's not right. Throw me into the water. The question is, are Rish Lakish and Ula arguing? So the Ram learns that in fact they are. That Ula is saying there is a heter to use the services of somebody who learned 4 Sdonim of Mishnayos, as long as they haven't learned Gemara. Whereas Rish Lakish seems to be saying that just the fact that you learned 4 Sdonim of Mishnayos is already enough that you can't be carrying. On the other hand, Maharsha says maybe not necessarily. Maybe Rish Lakish and Ula are not really disagreeing, because the fact that the guy says I want to serve you, Rebbe, implies that up until now he never had the schus to be mishamish tamid chachamim. He never had the schus to learn personally by the chachamim, which is where you learn Gemara. So now Rish Lakish is telling him, if so, then you'll learn a piece of Gemara from me now. And with that, then you'll have that distinction of Masni, of somebody who learns Gemara. Since at that point you're my Talmud, then you'll be allowed to carry me, but at least this way you'll be not just on the level of Tani, but on the level of Masni. So he tells him, so learn from me the following statement. De Omer Abzera, B'nois Yisrael Heinech Miru Al Atman, Jewish women were machmir on themselves, Shafilo Royas Titas Dam Kachardo, even if they see a flow of a drop of blood, only the size of a mustard seed, Yoshvis Olav Shivanakiyim, they still sit Shivanakiyim for it as though, so what is it? So Midaraisa, we talked about earlier in the Masechta, Midaraisa, when does a woman need Shivanakiyim? Only if she was a zava rather than a nida, so she had a flow of blood not during the regular time when she's expected to be nida, but rather during the 11 days when she could potentially be a zava, and only if she has that for 3 days consecutively. Then she's called a Zava Gzola, and she needs Shiva Nekiyim, as we learned earlier in the Masechta. If she only has it 1 or 2 days during that time, then Midaraisa, she's called a Shemera Siyan Keneged Yoyim, and she only needs 1 clean day. So at one point, the Gemara explains in Nida, at one point there was a Takana that you don't need Shiva Nekiyim, but you do need to go until the end of the 7 days, meaning let's say that if a woman had a flow of blood for 1 day, it wouldn't just be enough. There was a Takana at one point. It wouldn't just be enough to have 1 clean day after that. You'd have to have 6 clean days, because what if it's not the time of her Nida? What if it's not the time of Ziva? What if it's the time of Nida? And Nida, always you need to wait until the end of the 7th day before you can total. But Bnos Yisro were Machman themselves beyond that, and they said you always need Shiva Nekiyim, even if it was only a tiny drop of blood. So this way, because Rashi explains, because you could have, first of all, there are certain cases where seeing Dam Nida requires an Atarah that she needs Shiva Nekiyim, where Rashi describes, let's say she was in the middle of Shiva Nekiyim for a previous Ziva Gdola, then she has a tiny flow of blood, and that undoes all the 7 days, and she has to start over again. Besides which also, you could have that she may have had a flow of blood on the 2 previous days and not noticed it, and now only on the 3rd day she notices it. So for that reason, Jewish women came up with this chumra that always, whenever they have a flow of blood, even if it's the tiniest amount, they consider as if they were a Zav of Gdola, and they need Shiva Nekiyim. They need 7 clean days. So that's a halacha that Rav Zeira said, that Jewish women accepted the chumra on themselves, and it became binding al pi halacha. So now the Shlokish taught this halacha to this guy who was carrying them. So in this connection, talking about halachas, the Gemara says Tanit Ve'Eliyahu. We learn in a Braisa from the Yeshiva of Eliyahu, Kol Ashona Halacha, is a person who learns halachas of the Torah, or in other places, B'chol Yoyim, Muvtach Leishu Ben Olam Haba, he is guaranteed to be a Ben Olam Haba, Kol Yisrael Yashan L'chayet Olam Haba. But it means, among other things, it means that he's going to be able to go into Olam Haba right away without needing a time first in Gehenim. It means that he has an actual Chelek Olam Haba. It means that he's a Ben Olam Haba, not just that he has a Chelek, but like he's somebody who actually really belongs there, and so forth. Anyway, Shenema Halichas Olam Loi, as the Pasuk says, the ways, the paths of the world are Hashem's. Al Tikri Halichas El Halachas. Don't read Halichas, but rather Halachas. So therefore, we learn the word means Halachas. If a person learns Halachas Olam Loi, then the world of Gan Eden belongs to him. So again, it goes with the fact we said before, Halachas are Kisra Shel Torah. They're the crown of the Torah, the Ratzon Elyon. So therefore, with that, more than anything else, a person is Zeicha to Olam Haba. Marshall says, what's the relevance of this Gemara over here? He says, because we just talked about this thing of Bnos Yisrael. So now you're going to think to yourself, well, then why do I need to ever learn the halachas of Nida and Ziva again? From now on, we say that Jewish women are just machmir. They always need Shiva Nekiyim. So why do we need to learn all the detailed halachas of when a woman is a Nida and when she's a Zava? Nevertheless, the answer is because Muvtach Leishu Ben Olam Haba.
Because
the schus of learning itself brings a person to Olam Haba. Getting back to we've talked before about haspedim for the merachachamim, when we're allowed to do them in shul and when not. So let's talk about now the funeral. Let's talk about now the levaya, the funeral. So tonen abonin mivatlin talmud torah loitzos hames olachnasas kakala. We interrupt learning torah for itzos hames for levaya olachnasas kakala and for a wedding. And the Gemara says, and the Baraisa continues, Amru Olava, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi, they said about Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi, which is regular Rabbi Yehuda in Shas, in Mishnayas and Baraisa, regular Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana is Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Loi, Shayim Vatal, Tamatar, Loi, Tzasamas, Alach Nasasakala. So he used to do that. The Machlokas was showing him whether we're talking about any mess or only a mess mitzvah. One way of looking at it, and Tosfos discusses this at the beginning of the Masechta and in Ksubas and in other places, one way of looking at it is we're talking only that you're allowed to. First of all, what does it mean by vatan? Does it mean you have to, or does it mean you're allowed to? And second of all, so if you say it means you're allowed to, then we're saying, so here's an example where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Loi used to do it. If you say that you have to, then what's the chiddush that he did it? Another question is, are we talking only for a mes mitzvah, or are we talking about for a mes in general? So the other opinion that says that you have to would say the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda is not that he did it, because of course you have to do it al pi halacha. The chiddush was that even though he was todasay umnasay, nevertheless he was still mevatel talmud Torah for this purpose. Tosfos does mention, by the way, an interesting story from Masechta Derech Erech Zutta that says that one time Rabbi Akiva, when he was still first starting out as a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, so one time he found a mes mitzvah and carried it several milin to go and bury it. And when he came and told Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua what he had done, then they criticized him for it. They told him, for every step that you took, it's as if you were shofach damim. Now, why is that? Tosfos says, not because he was mevatel with learning. We're saying over here, you're learning from that sense, because you're supposed to bury him over there. So you shouldn't have carried him someplace else. So Rabbi Akiva says, I realized from that how much I still have to learn Torah, and therefore that's when from then on he got more serious about his learning, realizing there's so much that he doesn't know.
The reason why he carried probably because he wanted
to. He figured he'd go take him to Kehu Yisrael, yeah. Okay. So the Gemara continues, the Braisa continues, Bamedvar Mamurim, when is this talking about that Muvatal Tamad Torah for Hitzas HaMes Rachnasas Kala, Shibesha'en Sham Kol Tzorkas, only when you don't have as many people as are needed for the Levaya, or for the wedding. Avol Yesham Kol Tzorkas, but if you have as many people as are necessary, Ein Muvatlin, then you don't stop Tamad Torah for that. The Kama Kol Tzorkas, so now what's considered Kol Tzorkas? Omer of Shmuel Ba'inyim, Shmei Dedad, Tracer Alpha Gavri Vishita Alpha Shipuri. You have to have at least 12,000 people and 6,000 people, an additional 6,000 who are blowing shofaris. They used to blow shofaris at Leviathan. The Amri law, another version is Tracer Alpha Gavri, 12,000 men, Uminayu, and among those 12,000, Shita Alpha Shipuri, 6,000 of them should be blowing shofaris. No, not necessarily a Guzman. Rambam Shah talks about that, for example, we find by the war with Midian, they sent 12,000 people, and Velenifka Mimenu Ish, not one of them was killed in the war. So you need a 12,000 helps to counteract Ayin Hara, therefore that's why we're saying a figure of 12,000. No, wait. Ula gives a different figure. It's not an actual number of people, but to go into Chaiti Gabri Me'avula Ad Sichra. If you have enough people that you're able to have a machitza of people from the gate of the city until the Beis HaKavodes, which is where they're going to do the hespin and the burial, then that's considered enough. That's considered kol tzorkas. So obviously, depending on the size of the city and how far the Beis HaKavodes is and so forth, then that's going to differ. Rav Sheshes says even more than that. Kinesinosa kachneti losa. The same number of people as you had when the Torah was given is the same way as the same number that you need when the Torah is taken away. Just like the Torah was given, you had 600,000 people. Afnitzilosa, the same way, when it's taken away, where a Yid passed away, and his portion in Torah is gone from the world, it has to be the Samach Riba. It also has to be 600,000. However, the Gemara says, Hani Mili, the Man Dekori V'toni. Now that applies only to a person who learnt Tanakh and learnt Mishnayot. Ava Laman De Masni, but for somebody who Masni, where we said before that Masni has two possibilities. It can mean that he taught Torah to other people, and it can mean that he learned Gemara, not just Tanakh and Mishnayos, but he learned Gemara. So then, less Leishiura, then there's no Shiur even for it. Then no matter how many people you have, it's not enough. Now, the flip side of it then, Tosfos says, is the implication is that if a person did not learn Tanakh or Mishnayos even, then there is a smaller Shiur. So then you only need Kedet Sokran. So that's where you have that you need a minion. This is what you were thinking of. You're asking, don't you only need a minion? That's for somebody that loy kori v'loy toni. The minimum, even for a Yid who never learned any Torah, is to have a minion. But where he learned Torah, then we're saying then you have these numbers that we're saying over here in your Mevatel Talmud Torah for it. Tosfos also mentions in that connection, by the way, that when you have a levaya of anybody, then there's a concept of bitul malocha. The people in town are not allowed to do malocha during the levaya. Now, we're not knowing in that because we have in every Jewish community, you have a chevra kadisha, and they're the ones. The reason why there has to be bitul malocha is in order that you should be oisik with the mess. But where there's a chevra kadisha, then you don't really need that. So we'll learn about that more in Moed Katan, Hashem, in the next chapter. There is, by the way, a machlokas rishonim. What about then? What about when a woman passes away? On the one hand, she didn't necessarily learn Torah. On the other hand, she doesn't have a chiyuv of learning Torah. So you have a machlokas rishonim. Whether do we say that she has to have the numbers that we're saying over here, the 600,000, even though she didn't learn Torah, or are we saying that she's in that sense like a man and I'm a oretz and we just need a minyan?
She's like a partnership.
So in a way, she's like a partnership. So that's one way of looking at it, is she has the schutz of Talmud Torah through the fact, as the Gemara tells us in Brachas, that she makes her kids go to cheder and she waits up for her husband to come home from the base medrash, etc. Yeah, but on the other hand, so yeah, machlokas was showing him on that thing. Okay. Going back now to the matter of shuls. So the Gemara starts off, Tanya Rav Shimon Yechoyim, Boyer E Kam Chavivin Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come see how precious the Jewish people are to Hashem. Shabachom Makam Shagalus Shechina Imahem. Wherever the Jewish people went into Golos, the Shechina always accompanied them. Golo the Mitzrayim Shechina Imahem. They went in Golos to Mitzrayim, and the Shechina came down with them. Shenema, as we find a pasuk where a Navi comes to Eli HaKoyen many years later when they're in Eretz Yisrael, and he tells him, "Hanigloi nigloisi leveis avicha v'yosim v'mitzrayim v'gemer." Don't you realize that I revealed myself to your father's household when they were in Mitzrayim? This is talking about that Aaron had been a Navi while they were still in Mitzrayim, and Hashem revealed himself to Aaron and told him to tell Nevuas to the Yidin. So we see that Hashem's Shechina revealed itself in Mitzrayim. So Marashah points out, if it's just that Hashem spoke to the Nevi'im, you don't need that. You have Psukim that you have. By Dabar Hashem and Moshe Val Aaron, Be'eretz Mitzrayim Lamer, and Psukim like that. The Chiddush is that we're saying over here, the expression in the Pasuk is Hanigloi Niglesi, Meloshan, that Hashem revealed himself. So not just that Hashem spoke to them, but Hashem actually revealed himself in Eretz Mitzrayim, implying that the Shechina was there. He says also, Hanigloi Niglesi is also Meloshan Golos. So it means, in other words, Hashem is also saying, I went into Golos, into Mitzrayim, and because the Jewish people were there. Next, Golo to Bavel, Shechina Iman. When the Jewish people went in Golos to Bavel, then the Shechina went with them. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, V'manchem shulachti Bavela. For your sake, I was sent to Bavel. Now, the actual Lashon HaPasuk in Yeshaya is shilach, which means, for your sake, I sent to Babel. But here, and in several other places, Gemaras and Midrashim darsh in the word as if it was written shulachti, meaning I was sent. You have actually in Hashinus, after each day's Hashina, when we say the paragraph over there, Hashaita Elam Belud Imach, we have several such other drushas like that, where, for example, it says Vayosha Hashem Vayemahu Es Yisrael, and then we darshan as if it said Vayivosha, that Hashem himself was saved. And you have several other drushas like that it mentions over there. So here the same thing, even though it says in the pasuk Shilachti, I sent you, we darshan as if it said Shulachti, I was sent. So for your sake, I was sent, I, my Shechina, was sent to Babel.
Different the lesson because I was sent because of the Yidden?
Because of the Yidden. Shilachti would mean I sent you to Bavel. Shulachti would mean I myself, my Shechina, was sent to Bavel. Yeah. In Tanya, the other day, the Alfie never talked about this idea in Avoda, that it means that when a person acts like the people of Bavel, then he drags down the Shechina down into the klippas, which are called Bavel. This is the whole concept of Golos HaShechina. So you have, in other words, there's a personal Golos and there's a national Golos. Anyway. So the Af Shehem Asidim Ligoil, when the Jewish people are taken out of Golos, the Hate of Yemen Mamash, Shechina Imahen, then the Shechina will be with them. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Veshav Hashem Alekecha Es Shvusva, the Pasuk says Hashem will return with your captivity. Veheshiv Loinema, it doesn't say Hashem will return you, in other words, that Hashem has been out of Golos the whole time, and he's now returning you. Ela Veshav, it says he will return, which is, in other words, a verb speaking of himself. So it means that Hashem returns with the Jewish people when they come out of Golos. Okay, the Gemara says, so you're telling me that the Shechina came down with the Yidden to Babel. So the Babel Hecha, where in Babel specifically will you find the Shechina? Now, of course, there's different levels of the Shechina. We know to a certain extent. Every time you have 10 Jews together, you have the Shechina over there. The Gemara is asking, though, we're saying the Shechina, like the main presence of the Shechina, went with the Jewish people to Babel. So where in Babel will you find that? So Amar Abaye, the Bei Knishta de Hutzel, in the shul of the city of Hutzel, or the Bei Knishta de Shofri Yosef in Ardor, and in the shul of Shofri Yosef in Ardor. So Shafi Yosef in some places Rashi explained was the name of a neighborhood in Nahda, but here and in other places Rashi explained, and the Gaonim also bring, that Shafi Yosef means it moved and it settled. So what happened was, Rashi described, when Yechoniah and the people who were taken with him into Golus 11 years before Churban Bayis Rishon, when they left Eretz Yisrael, they took with them stones and dirt of Eretz Yisrael. Because even the stones and the dirt of Eretz Yisrael are precious. And they built a shul with that in Bavel, and this is the shul of Shafi Yosef. So in other words, the rocks and the dirt themselves that the shul was built out of moved from Bavel and settled in, moved from Eretz Yisrael and settled in Bavel. And the Shechinah itself, so to speak, moved from Eretz Yisrael and settled there in Bavel. Therefore, the shul was called Shafi Yosef. Now, we're saying two shuls. So V'loy Tema Hocha V'Hocha. So Abaya says, don't think that the Shechinah at all times is present in both of those shuls. Ella Zimnin Hocha, the Zimnin Hocha. Sometimes it's in the shul of Hutzel, sometimes it's in the shul of Shafi Yosef in Nahda. Well, of course it could be in both places at the same time, but again, we're talking about there's one place where you have the main Hashras HaShchinah. In other words, the same way as in the Beis Mikdash, for example, you have the main place of the Shchinah was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, between the two Badim of the Aron. Between the two kruvim, on the Aron, whatever. And then, you have like an outflow of that in other places. The same way over here, there has to be like one main place where you have the Shekhinah is present at any given time, and then you have like a lesser level of the Shekhinah in other places. So Omar Abaya, Tasili, so in this connection, Abaya says, I should get reward from Hashem, v'chimerachikna parasa, when I'm even a parasa away, which is a few miles, I will make a point of going out of my way and davening in that shul because the Shekhinah is there. We talked about yesterday about this Tasili, how do you ask for schar for mitzvahs? So it means he wants schar mitzvah. He wants this schar that in the future he should be able to do mitzvahs. He's saying that this is a mitzvah I'm particularly careful with, even though other people maybe are not so careful with it, etc. So the Gemara says, Avur de Shmuel v'Levi havu yasu de knishti de shof v'yasu ben Arda, the father of Shmuel and Levi, who was his chaver, were one time sitting in the shul of shof v'yasu in Arda, Asya Shekhinah, they heard the Shekhinah coming. Shomu Kil Rigsha, they heard a sound of a noise indicating that the Shekhinah is coming. Alderach, like what you have, you know, with a human king, like you have a bunch of soldiers that march in front of him to clear the way for him. So the same way they heard a noise indicating that the Malachim, so to speak, are preparing the way for the Shekhinah to come into the shul. So Komu V'Nafku, so they got up and left out of respect for the Shekhinah. They're not going to be sitting there when the Shekhinah is there. Similarly, Rav Sheshes have a Yosef Beit Knishta, the Shafi Yosef in Arda. Rav Sheshes was sitting in the same shul in Arda. Atya Shechina, the Shechina was coming, but unlike Avur, the Shmuel Belevi, the Loi Nafak. Unlike them, he didn't leave. Now, Rashi mentions over here that Rav Sheshes was blind. So that might be a reason why he didn't leave. There was nobody available to help him out. Also, Malach HaSharetz became a vassal. Like Malach HaSharetz came and started scaring him, like, what are you, as if telling him, what are you doing over here? The Shekhinah is here. Go out. Amalafana, but Rav Sheshes Davin, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Oluv V'Sheinei Oluv. When you have one person who's Oluv, which means like lowly and a low down, V'Sheinei Oluv, and somebody who is not, meaning there's me versus there's you, Hashem, Min Nidchim Mipnei Mi, who has to get pushed away in favor of which one? Another possibility is Oluv, because the Gemara mentions in some places, Oluv means Chutzpedik, so it means like I'm a human being, I'm a Chutzpedik kind of person by nature, but you, Hashem, are not, you have all the good midas. So who gets pushed aside because of who? In other words, like so to speak, don't push me out of here. I should give me a chance to remain over here. Amrulahu Shavku, Sashem said to Malachim, fine, leave him alone. Let him stay over here, even though the Shekhinah is here. So apparently the idea is at least the people who are on a higher level, like Avur de Shmuel and Levi and Rav Sheshes, felt it and they weren't going to sit there. So maybe the Hamoinam wouldn't realize that, so maybe therefore they could. We don't know. So in this connection, there's a pasuk in Yechezkel where he talks about that even though the Navi describes, he says, Hashem says, even though I sent the Jewish people into Golus, I became for them a small Beis Mikdash. So what does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Eva Batik Nesias, so Batim Medrash is from Babel. That refers to the shuls and the Batim Medrash in Babel. Those are like a miniature Beis HaMikdash. This is where we get the concept, calling a shul and a Beis HaMikdash a Mikdash Ma'at, which means, therefore, this is why we're saying in this parak that it has dinim of Kedusha about as far as selling it and as far as how you act in there, and so forth. Amar Rabbi Loza says it doesn't just mean generically the shuls in Babel, Zeb Beis Rabbeinu Shebabel. Specifically, it means the house of our Rebbe, meaning Rav in Babel. That's the specific Mikdash Ma'at of Babel. The Rebbe used to mention this phrase Beis Rabbeinu Shebabel any number of times. Sure, yeah. Dorash Rava. So in this connection, Rava Daushin a pasuk. My dichtiv. What does it mean? A pasuk in Tillim. Hashem Ma'oin Atav Yisalanu. Hashem, you were a Ma'oin, which literally means a place to dwell for us. So what is that? Eva Batik Nesir. So Batim Medrashes. That refers to the shuls and the Batim Medrash. Those are the dwelling place that Hashem made for us. So Amar Abaya. Abaya said in that connection, Meresh, originally, Havoi Garisna Mabesa, originally I used to learn Torah at home, Umatzlinu Mabek Nishta, and then when it came time to daven, I would go to shul. Kivin de Shmois Lahod, Ka'amar David, then when I heard about the pasuk that it says in Tillim, Hashem Ohavti Ma'oin Beisecha, Hashem, I love the dwelling place of your house, so now I realize that, in other words, the shul is Hashem's dwelling place, so to speak. From then on, I started learning in shul as well, not just davening there. Now, what do you mean? Did Abaya not know the pasuk until him before that? Maharsha says what it means is, he said before, I never realized that the pasuk Hashem Ma'avdi Ma'in Be'secha is referring to a shul. Now that Rava explained the pasuk Hashem Moin Yisalanu, that it refers to the shuls, so now Abaya realized that the pasuk Hashem Ohavti Moin Beischa is also the same word Moin, also refers to a shul, and therefore he realized the shul has greater kedusha, and therefore you should learn there rather than in his house. Okay, in this connection, Tanya Rabbi Elazar Akapoimer. In the future, the shuls and the Batei Medrash in Babel will be reestablished in Eretz Yisrael. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Ki kesover baharim uchachamel bayom yavoy. The pasuk says, like Carmel among the mountains, and like Tover among the mountains, and like Carmel by the seacoast, it will come, or he will come. In context, the pasuk is talking about how Nebuchadnezzar is going to conquer and destroy Mitzrayim. In other words, the Mephoshim on the pasuk explain what it means is, as surely as Tover is one of the tall mountains, and as surely as Carmel is next to the sea, that's how certain it is that Nebuchadnezzar is going to come and destroy Mitzrayim. But the point is that we're doubtioning it, that it means that those mountains are right now in Chutz Laaretz. But originally they were in Chutz Laaretz, and then they were moved and placed in Eretz Yisrael. So what happened? So v'aloy dvarim kal v'chomer. So what? Let's make a kal v'chomer. Uma tover v'kamel shlebo el l'pishal limud Torah. Madach tover and kamel, who only came by Matan Torah for a short time in order to learn Torah. In other words, what happened? Hashem is going to give the Torah on Har Sinai, and how Tover came from wherever it was, and how a kamel came from wherever it was, in order to be there when Matan Torah takes place. And the result of that was Mikboim be'Eretz Yisrael, that those mountains were established and placed permanently in Eretz Yisrael. So Batik, and they were only there for the Matan Torah, which was a one-time thing. So therefore, Batik, Nesias, or Batim Medrashes, Shekodin, or Mabitzim, Behan Torah, the shuls and the Batim Medrash, where they're constantly learning and spreading Torah in them, Allah has kama kama, how much more so that the ones in Chutz Laaretz are not going to remain there forever, they're going to eventually be established in Eretz Yisrael. Even now, in fact, to some extent, they were considered like a portion of Eretz Yisrael. There's a Gemara in Brachas where Rabbi Yochanan is told there are old people in Babel, and he wonders, how is that possible? Isn't the Bracha of long life, L'man yubu yimechem yimei v'nechem, al ha'adama shenishba Hashem? And then they tell him that these people regularly go to shul early in the morning and stay there till late at night, so now he realizes, oh, that explains it. So how does that explain it? So that one answer is, I think Maharsha says, based on our Gemara over here. Because since in the future, those shuls are going to be in Eretz Yisrael, even now they're considered a portion of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the bracha of Laman Yubu Yimechem applies in them. Even though it's physically located in Babel right now. Dorash Bakapara. On the other hand, Bakapara Darshan, that there's a different reason why Tover and Carmel came. My dichtiv, what did it mean a pasuk in Tehillim? Lama teratun horim gavnunim. The pasuk says, why are you jumping around gavnunim mountains? Meaning, and the pasuk goes on to say, Hashem chose how Sinai as a place where he's going to give the Torah. So it means Yotza Basko va'amr lahem, means the Basko came and said to Har Tovar and Har Carmel, Lama teratzu din im Sinai. The word teratzu, we're darshaning as teratzu din. Why are you, teratzu din rather, why do you want to have a din Torah to argue against Har Sinai? Kulchem balim mumim after Meitzel Sinai. All of you are balim mumim relative to Har Sinai. Because you're tall, and being tall, you're Bali Gaiva. This is the famous Medrash, that the mountains were very proud. I am a mountain so very high that they wanted the Torah to be given on them, and instead Hashem gave it on low Har Sinai. So all of you being tall mountains are all Bali Mumin relative to Har Sinai. Where do we see from the Pasuk that they're Bali Mumin? Ksivach Gavnunim, because here the Pasuk describes them as Gavnunim. In the list of mumim that make a kohen apostle to serve in the Beis Mikdash, it mentions gibein with a couple of meanings in it. It means he has his eyebrows grow together, or it means that he's a hunchback. Whatever the case, it's some kind of, there's a couple of different explanations in the Gemara, but whatever the case, those are mumim. So we see the word gibein is related to gavnunim, meaning therefore they're bali mumim. Amaravashi, shmamin oidak, or a person has a cataract. Anyway, Omer Avashi, Shmamino, we see from that, Haiman the Yohir Baal Mum, a person who's Gaivadik is a Baal Mum, because we see that Hashem is saying that these mountains are Gaivadik, and therefore they're Baal Mum. So in other words, also, Bakapore is learning differently. Rabbi Lazar Akapa had learned that Tavar and Carmel came there in order to be present by Matan Torah, and learn the Torah that Hashem is giving. But now we're saying, on the other hand, Bakapore is saying that no, they came there in order to argue that the Torah should be given on them. And Hashem rejected their claim. Marsha says, by the way, we're not necessarily talking about the physical mountains themselves. They don't have any das. We mean the malachim of those mountains, that they came with these arguments. By the way, it also says, by the way, that after all, Hashem did not hold back. After all, Tovar and Carmel did deserve a reward for trying to contend to have the Torah given on them, even though Hashem rejected them. There's a very interesting thing that it says. Rashi brings in Sefer Shoftim, that each one of them got one of the expressions that it says by Matan Torah, got to have it said in connection with them twice. Namely, by Matan Torah, it was Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. So but when Devorah said Hoshira after the victory on Har Tavor, after they had the victory over Sisera, where they had the 10,000 Jewish soldiers on Har Tavor that came and attacked Sisera's army, she starts off Hoshira, Anoichi Lashem Anoichi Oshira. So twice on Neuchi. And as far as Harakamel, you have the story over there with Yov Harakamel, where he brought a korban and Hashem sent down a fire. And what did everybody say? Hashem hu ha'elikim, Hashem hu ha'elikim. So they got their schus after all, that they didn't get the actual Torah given on them, but they got the phrases on Neuchi and Hashem alekecha each said twice on them.
Those two mountains,
Tavor and Carmel, right.
Two different stories.
Okay. We said in the Mishnah, Ein oisin oisin kapandalia, that you're not allowed to make a shul a kapandalia, so my kapandalia. What does kapandalia mean? Omarova, kapandalia kishma. It means exactly what it sounds like. So my kishma, what do you mean exactly what it sounds like? The answer is kimanda omar, because the word kapandalia is short for, like a person says, adma kifna adori. Instead of having to go around the rows of houses, eyo baha, let me go in through here. So a shortcut. So you're not allowed to use a shul as a shortcut. Rabbi Bohu says, on the other hand, if there was originally a path there, then you are allowed to continue using it, even though a shul was built there. With that said, we did learn yesterday, we said that one of the Chachamim, when they asked him why you lived long, he said, I never used a shul as a kapandalia, means even in a case like that. So the poskim say that even then, you may be allowed to, but it's still better not to. Now, if a person goes into a shul or a beis medrash not intending to make it a kapandalia, mutulas says a kapandalia, then afterwards he's allowed to end up using it as one. So in other words, he goes in there for some other purpose, to daven or something, then he's allowed to later on go out the other side, which makes his path to go home or whatever shorter. And in this connection, Hanichas, the Besach Nesses, Leistalo, Mutter Lasesik Kapandaria. In fact, if he goes to the previous one of Rav Abohu, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, rather, was talking about, he went in there not to daven, but he went in there for some other purpose. For example, we talked about yesterday, let's say he went in there to call somebody, and now he sat there and said a posuk or a mishnah or whatever, so then he's allowed to make it a kapandaria, because then he's not using it exclusively as a shortcut. He went in there for some other purpose. Now was, in fact, if you go into shul in order to daven, then you're allowed to make it a kapandaria. And in fact, there is a girsa that some rishonim have, the Rosh and the Rif have a girsa, not just mutter, but mitzvah la'aseh se kapandaria. You should, ideally, if you went into a shul, make it a kapandaria. Shenema, why are you allowed to, or even a mitzvah to, as we find by the third base mitzvah that Yechezkel describes, over vayam ha'oretz lifnei Hashem ha'moyadim, when the people of the land come before Hashem on Yomim Tovim, ha'bod derech shar tzofen leishtachvos, whoever comes in, we're going to have this in a few weeks, as Aftorah, in a couple of months, actually, I guess I should say, as Aftorah, Parshas HaChodesh. So anyone who comes in, through the northern gate of the Bais HaMikdash to bow, Yetzei Derech Sha'ar Negev is going to go out through the southern gate and vice versa. So we see that they were expected to use the Bais HaMikdash as a kapandaria to start at one end and walk across and go out the other end. One idea of it is, this way, they're seeing the full glory of the Bais HaMikdash. So the same way, maybe in a shul, the idea is you should see the full beauty of the shul and be in there like as much as possible, kind of. We said in the Mishnah, although by a seven lo yitlash mitnei agmas nefesh, we said that when a shul was destroyed, so we said you're not allowed to do these various things, including using it as a shortcut. And we said if weeds and grass grow over there, you shouldn't tear them out of the ground because of agmas nefesh, because we said we want to motivate the people to daven and to work, that the shul should be rebuilt. So the Gemara says, "V'altanya ain't a toilet shul machil, aval toilet shul maniach." Don't we learn in a brisa that says you're not allowed to pick the grass in order to feed it to an animal, but you are allowed to pick it in order to leave it there? And the answer is, that's what the Mishnah means. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to pick the grass at all. It means if you pick it, you're not allowed to use it for animal food, leave it over there. In fact, the Rambam learns that the Mishnah and the Braisa are saying, you're dafka supposed to do that. On the one hand, you shouldn't leave the grass growing there because it's a gnai for the shul. On the other hand, you don't want to remove it because then people are not going to realize there's anything wrong. You should davka, the Rambam learns, that the Gemara is saying, you should davka, pick the grass and then leave the dry, then leave the detached grass over there. And that way people will realize that this place is, that we really need to fix up this place and make it into a shul again. We learn in a braisa, since we're talking about a shul, what you're allowed to do in it and not allowed to do in it. So let's talk about a similar thing, Beis HaKvoros, a cemetery. Ein Noegen Behan Kalos Rosh, you're not allowed to act casually in a Beis HaKvoros. Ein Marin Behan Behema, you're not allowed to have animals graze over there because it's not covered for the Mesim. Tosfos mentions in this connection that if you have trees growing in a Beis HaKvoros, then you are allowed to use those trees because they're not actually over the Kvorim themselves. Not all Rishonim agree with that, though. But, okay. So you're not allowed to graze animals in a Beis HaKvoros. You're not allowed to make a water channel pass through a Beis HaKvoros, because again, it's not respectful to Mesim. You're not allowed to pick grass over there. But if you did pick grass, surf and mimkaimon, then you should burn the grass right where you picked it. Mipnei kvoid mesim, because of the cover of the mesim. The Gemara says, "Aheya, which part? When it says mipnei kvoid mesim, which part of the braisa is it referring to? Ilema asefa? Are you saying it refers to that last part? How is that? Keeping to surf and mimkaimon, my kvoid mesim. What's the cover for the mesim if you're burning the grass right there? Ella alresha." Rather, we're referring to the Resha, that all the things we said, that no callous Resha, no grazing animals and so forth, is because of covered of Mason. So the Rashba talks about, in one of his Chuvas, he says, what about the minhag that people have of picking a little grass when they're leaving the Beis HaKvoros and throwing behind their shoulder? He says, that's outside the four amas of the Kvorim, so therefore that's not a problem.
So we do that
in order to show, we say, Zohar ki afa anachem, Hashem should remember that we're just dirt and we're just like grass that dries up very fast. So, yeah. Okay. from here until the end of the Masechta, we're going to be going back to Dinim of Kriyas HaTorah. Now we're going to start talking about the Dalad Parshias, which after all is relevant to Masechta Megillah. And from there, we're going to talk about all the other Kriyas and HaTorahs that we do for Yomim Tovim and other special occasions throughout the year. So the Mishnah starts off with Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechalias B'Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out on Shabbos, Kodesh Parshas Shkolim, then that Shabbos we read Parshas Shkolim. As the Gemara is going to tell us, during Adar is when they would collect Matzah Shekel, so they have it in the Beis Mikdash by Rosh Chodesh Nissan, so therefore that's why Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Adar, we read Parshas Shkolim in order to remind everybody to start bringing their Matzah Shekel.
The Mashmim, right?
Mashmim, Malach Shkolim, we're going to talk about it on Amud Beis, yeah. In fact, with you in the Masechta, that Haman said that we said over there that all Matzah Shekel counteracted his 10,000 shkolim, his 10,000 kicker that he offered to Achashverosh, which is another reason why to read it Adar time. Chalias Vesecha Shabbos, if Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out in the middle of the week, Makdimin Lashavar, then we move up Parshas Shkolim to the Shabbos before that, Shabbos Mevorchim, Umafsikin Lashabbos Acheres, and then the following Shabbos we interrupt. We don't read another one of the Dalad Parashias because the second one of the Parashias is Zohar, and that has to be the Shabbos before Purim. So if Rosh Chodesh Adar is on Shabbos, then the next Shabbos is the Shabbos before Purim. But if Rosh Chodesh Adar is any time during the week, then you're going to have a Shabbos of a break in between. Later on Lamed Amud Beis, we'll talk about the four possible Kviyas in a bit. But Shnia Zohar, the second of the special four Parshias is Zohar, and we read Parshas Zohar, but Shlishis Parah Adumah, the third one is Parshas Parah, but Revias HaChodesh HaLachem, and the fourth one is Parshas HaChodesh. But Chamishis Choizun LeKasidron, on the fifth one, we return back to the regular order of Parshias. Or we're going to discuss in the Gemara two possibilities. The Gemara is going to bring up two possibilities. One is that on these four Shabbosim, we don't lay in a regular parasha of the week. We only lay in these special parashias and split them up among seven oilim. Or that we do like we do nowadays, which is we read the regular parasha of the week, but we read these as maftir. So we're going to get into that point in the Gemara. So anyway, the fifth week, we go back to normal. The Mishnah continues, like kol mafsikin, we interrupt the regular parashias of the week, and instead read something appropriate to the Yom Tov or to the occasion for all different kinds of occasions. B'Rosh Chodeshim, we do that on Rosh Chodesh. B'Chanukah over Purim, on Chanukah and Purim. So on those days, on Monday and Thursday, for example, of Chanukah or Purim, we don't lay in the regular parasha of the week. Instead, we lay in something for Chanukah, that we lay in the Kriya for Chanukah over Purim. B'Taniyas, on fast days, over Ma'amodos, and Ma'amodos, which we learned about in Masechta Tainis, where you have the people over there, the Maimed, where on the Sunday they lay in Bereshis and Vihirakia, and the next day Vihirakia and Yikavu Amayim, and so forth, so they do that. Over Yom Kippurim, and also Yom Kippur. Tosfos says, the Yom Kippur, when we talk about Yom Kippur over here, we don't mean the morning Kriya, because obviously that's true of other Yom Tovim as well. We mean Yom Kippur afternoon. Suppose Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos. Usually, Shabbos afternoon, we'd be reading the beginning of next week's parasha. But when Yom Kippur comes out on Shabbos, we don't. Instead, we read that the Kriya of Yom Kippur afternoon, which is the parasha of Arayas, as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah. So the Gemara starts off, Tznan Hatzim, we learn in a Mishnah, in the beginning of Shkolim, Be'echad Ba'adam Hashmiin al Shkolim, on Rosh Chodesh Adar, they announce about the Shkolim, that people should start bringing their Matzah Shekel, Ba'al Kilayim, and about Kilayim, that people should get rid of Kilay Zroyim that are in their fields. So the Gemara says, Bishlema ala Kilayim, I understand why they announce about Kilayim at the beginning of Adar, Dizman Zriyi, because that's the time of planting. Or to be exact, not really the time of planting, they plant earlier in the season. But in other words, this is the time when the plants have grown enough, where now if there's Kilayim in your field, you'll recognize it. Many times you could have, in other words, let's say a person has a pile of wheat grain where he's going to go be planting wheat for the season, but mixed into them might be other kinds of seeds. So when you first plant them, you're not going to notice. But now, once they start growing, then you'll notice them, and now you'll know to get rid of them. So Beis Din would announce about that. El al shkolim minol, and how do we know that Rosh Chodesh Adar is when we should be announcing about shkolim, which is also therefore why we're reading Parshas Shkolim then. So Omer of Tavi, Omer of Yoshia, to Omakra, because the pasuk says, Zois oilas chodesh b'chodshoi. This is the oila of the month in its month. Meaning, why do we have to say chodesh b'chodshoi? Means, Omra Torah chadesh v'hove korban v'truma chadosha. The Torah is telling us, make new and start bringing the korbanos from new truma, from new money that was collected this year. Now, when does that year begin? The kivud nissen, the benissen, bo yakruvi, the truma chadasha. Since nissen is when we have to start the fiscal year of the Beis Hamikdash, and Rashi refers to a gemara that we learned previously in Rosh Hashanah, that we learn that from the fact that here it says, and you also have a chodesh alachem, reish chadoshim, rishin ulachem, the chodesh hashana. So that's a gzeira shava that tells us that the year begins for that purpose in Nisan. So since the year begins in Nisan, they have to start bringing the karbanas, the tzmidim and the mustafim and so forth, beginning from a chodesh Nisan, from new money. So the kibbutz of Nisan, boya kruvim, it's from a chadasha. Since Nisan time, they have to start bringing from Trima Chadasha, kadminin, bekadminin ve'echab Adar. This way, we start reading and we start announcing about it on the first of Adar, kiyeche, delaysu, shkolim l'mikdash. So this way, people will bring shkolim in time to the Beis Hamikdash. And this way, they'll be collected during Adar, and they'll have them in the Beis Hamikdash Nisan time. The Yerushalmi in Shkolim, actually, which we learned last year, talks about the interesting question. So what about, for example, in Bavel, where it takes them several months for the Shkolim collected there to be received in Eretz Yisrael? Do they, in fact, make the announcement about the Shkolim earlier in the season over there, like Kislev Tevis time, or no? Do we say it just means their Shkolim will arrive in the Beis Hamikdash later, but they'll still have them in mind when they're bringing the Korbanos? So the Gemara, I don't remember if the Gemara came to a Maskana over there, but in practice we see that in both in Bavel and in Eretz Yisrael, they read Parashas Shkolim, Rosh Chodesh Adar, or the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar, rather than sometime during the winter. So the Gemara says, Kiman, now who is this like? The Loikarab Shimon Gamliel. It seems that this that we're saying, that we need to start announcing a full month before Rosh Chodesh Nissan, seems to be not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Eid of Shimon Gamliel almost stay Shabbosis. Rav Shimon Gamliel says when it comes to learning the halachas of a Yom Tov, you only need 2 weeks. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, Shulin behilchas Pesach kodesh laPesach shloshim yom. For 30 days before Pesach, you start asking about halachas of Pesach. One nafkamina of saying shoylem. I mean, you could ask the shayla anytime during the year. But the point is, the Gemara tells us that if you have two people come to a rav with a shayla, and one of them is a shayla that's in season and one not, then the rav should first deal with the shayla that's in season. So 30 days before Pesach is considered in season for Pesach shaylas. So you do that. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, only 2 weeks. So according to him, why should you need to announce about the shkolim beginning already Rosh Chodesh Adar? You should only need to in the middle of Adar. The answer is that through the tamer of Shimon Gamliel, you could even say that it goes according to Shimon Gamliel, because kiven de amamar, since we learn in a Mishnah in Shkolim over there, b'chamisha also by Shulchanes Yoshim b'Medina, on the 15th of Adar, money changers would start sitting in the Medina. So you have machlokas whether Medina means the entire country of Eretz Yisrael or whether specifically it means Yerushalayim. But the point is, in other words, you had people would be bringing coins from all over the place. They don't necessarily know that those coins are equal to a machta shekel. So they need a money changer who would convert their money into machta shekel that's used for the business. So on the 15th, they would start sitting in the Medina. Over Chofei Yoshu Mikdash, on the 25th of Adar, they would start sitting in the Mikdash, which is a simon to the people that it's already almost time. It's only 4 days, it's only 4 or 5 days before Rosh Chodesh, and you better hurry up and bring your Machta Shekel, so it's in time. And from that point also, Rashi mentions, the Mishnah mentions over there, from that point on also, they would start taking a mashkin from people who haven't yet given Machta Shekel. So in any case, so we see that from the 15th already they're already sitting and starting to collect Machta Shekel. So therefore, Mishum Shulchanos Kadminin V'Karinim. So now we could say that because of the Shulchanos, because they start to sit on the 15th of Adar, therefore we start reading on Rosh Chodesh Adar, which is 2 weeks earlier. Meanwhile, the Chachamim are going to say, okay, we're not going to say that we have to start announcing from Tu B'Shvat, because the fact is, you still have the whole Adar to collect it, so therefore they'll say also that you only have to start from Rosh Chodesh Adar. So both the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel can both agree you begin Rosh Chodesh Adar. Okay. My Parsha Shkolim, now what is the actual Parsha Shkolim? What is the Parsha that we read as Parsha Shkolim? Rav Amatzavas B'nei Yisrael Ve'amalt Aleim is Korbani Lachmi. So Rav says it's the Parsha of the Tomid that we say every morning in Korbanos. Ushmul, which we also read later on Rosh Chodesh, Ushmul Amak Kitisa. Shmuel says it's the first few psukim of Parshas Kitisa. So the Gemara says, Vishleim Lamanda Amak Kitisa. I understand according to Shmuel, who says that that you lay in Kisisa, Hainu de Korela Parsha Shkolim. Well, that explains why it's called Parsha Shkolim, because it says, Ze Yitnu and Machza Shekel B'Shekel HaKodesh. Adichti B'Shkolim, it says in it about the Shkolim. El Laman de Omer Eskoboni Lachmi. But according to Rav, that you're learning about the Kovin Tomid, Hochamidi Shkolim Ksivi, does it say anything in those Psukim about Shkolim? Why is that appropriate for Parsha Shkolim? Hochamidi Shkolim Ksivi Hossam? And the answer is Ain, yes, time am I. After all, what's the reason why we need to collect during Adar? Kedid Rav Tovi is based on what Rav Tovi said. We have to start bringing the Korbanos Tomid from the new money beginning with Chodesh Nisan. So therefore, the Parsha of Tomid is a very appropriate thing to learn at that time.
One second.
Well, the fact that they say it every morning in Korbanos is neither here nor there. I mean, that minhag didn't necessarily exist at that time.
Okay,
but the question is that we lay in every Rosh Chodesh. Yeah, we're going to get. So the Gemara says, "Bishleim lamanda Omer Savas Bnei Yisrael." Okay, well, we can say the other way around. I understand Rav's opinion that it would be Savas Bnei Yisrael, Mishum Dachtivi Korbanos Hasim Kedav Tavi. So fine, it does say Korbanos over there, and like Rav Tovi said, the point of the Machta Shekel is to be able to buy the Korbanos of the new year from the new money. El Lamanda Omer Kisisa, the opposite question, Korbanos Miksivi, it doesn't say anything over there about the Machta Shekel being used for the Korbanos. Shkolim La'adonim Miksivi. What it's talking about over there is collecting the Machta Shekel that they used for the silver sockets of the Kroshim of the Mishkan. So nothing to do with the Korbanos. So why is that appropriate? The answer is Kitoni Rav Yosef. As Rav Yosef taught a Braisa, Sholosh Trumas Hain, that there were actually three Trumas being referred to in those Psukim. Because you actually have there three times it says over there the word Truma. Matzah Shekel Truma Lashem. Then the next Pasuk is Yitin Trumas Hashem. And then it says, Losses is Trumas Hashem Lachapra Machisechem. So three times in those Psukim, it says the word Truma. So therefore it actually refers to three different collections. Shom Mizbeach Lamizbeach. There was one collection for the Mizbeach, which was used for Korbanos that are brought on the Mizbeach, and that everybody gave Machta Shekel, so everybody has an equal share in the Korbanos Tzipor. V'shal Adonim La'adonim. Then there was another Machta Shekel, also an equal amount taken from each person for the Adonim, where that was a one-time thing when they built the Mishkan. And the third one, V'shal Bedek Abayis, the Bedek Abayis, then the third one is for the upkeep of the Mishkan and later on of the Beis Mikdash, that's a voluntary amount. Everybody could give, different people could give a smaller or larger amounts as they see fit. But in those Psukim, it refers to all three of them. Therefore, yes, you do have the one for the Mizbeach is also hinted at in the Psukim by one of the times that it says Truma. This is, by the way, why when we give Machzah Shekel before Purim, why do we give three Machzah Shekel based on this? Because it says three times Truma. Okay. The Gemara says, I understand according to Shmuel that Parashas Shkolim is the section of Kisisa. Like you said, then in that way, this Rosh Chodesh is different. Usually on Rosh Chodesh, you'd be laning the Parasha of the Tomid and of Rosh Chodesh. Now instead, you're laning Kisisa, so therefore it's noticeable that there's a difference. But according to Rav, who says that you're laying in the same thing you're laying on other Rosh Chodeshim, my Shani, in what way is there going to be a difference that people are going to pay attention that we have to bring Matzah Shekel? The answer is, Shani, there still is a difference. The Ilu Rosh Chodeshim Koru Shite Be'inyon Adiyoyma, because a regular Rosh Chodesh, you're going to have six people are going to lay in the parasha of the week. You're going to get six aliyah. The parasha is going to be divided into six aliyahs. V'chad B'di Rosh Chodesh, and then the seventh one is going to lay in the parasha of Rosh Chodesh. Now, we don't do that nowadays, by the way. We do seven and one because we talked about the other day the question of whether the Maftir is Oilel Minyan Shiva. We talked about a few days ago, does the Maftir count as one of the seven Oilel? So we had two different opinions about it over there. So we're following the opinion over here that he does not, and therefore we need the seventh Oyla himself to lay in the parasha of Rosh Chodesh, because it's required to lay in it on that day, as it said in our Mishnah. Nowadays, that we say that in principle, as Tosfos said over there, in principle, the Maftir does count as one of the Oylim, then therefore instead we can leave the parasha of Rosh Chodesh for him. Anyway, so that's on a regular Rosh Chodesh. But what happens now, all the Olim are going to be laning in the parasha of Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, that'll be noticeable. You don't have a parasha of the week. Instead, you only have the parasha of Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, it'll be noticeable that it's parasha Shkolim. So Gemara says, Hanicha l'manda omel seder parasha yesu choyzer. Okay, that works out according to the understanding of our Mishnah, that on the Dalad Parashias, we don't lane the regular parasha of the week. We only lane parasha Shkolim, only parasha Zohar, and so forth. and then we go back to the regular parashiyas, okay, but there's a different understanding that on all those weeks we do lay in a regular parasha of the week. It just means that during those weeks we don't do the regular haftoras of the parashiyas, and only after the dalad parashiyas are over do we go back to the regular order of haftoras. So then, which means therefore, or parashas de yom karinan, according to that opinion, on parashas shkolim we're still laying in the parasha of the week, and the same thing on parashas zohar and so forth. So, my shani. So now, according to that, according to Rav, that parashas shkolim is the same as the parasha of Rosh Chodesh, and that you're laying a parasha of the week there, the same as any other Shabbos. So how are you making that that different than any other Shabbos or Chodesh? The answer is shani. There'll still be a difference. The difference is on a regular Shabbos or Shchodesh, six aliyahs in the parasha of the week, and one for the parasha of Shchodesh. Whereas what we're going to do now on Shabbos, parasha Shkolim, you're going to have only three people laying the parasha of the week. And then you're going to have four people split among them, the parasha of Rosh Chodesh, and that way it'll be noticeable that there's a difference than usual, and therefore people that remind people that it's parasha Shkolim and it's time to get the Matzah Shekel away. So it would mean, in other words, that the way according to Rav, now the halacha is not like Rav, this is one of the cases where the halacha is like Shmuel, as the Gemara is going to end up saying, but according to Rav, if Shabbos Rosh Chodesh was parasha Shkolim, then if Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out on Shabbos, which therefore it's Shabbos Parshas Shkolim, then you would have the parasha of the week. Let's say it would be parashas Mishpatim or Truma or whatever it usually is that time of year. Instead of having seven oilim in it, you would have only three oilim for the entire parasha. Then you would have the other four oilim would split the parasha of Rosh Chodesh among them, and that way it will be noticeable that a regular Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, where only the seventh oilim gets the parasha of Rosh Chodesh. Okay. So the Gemara says, Mesvi. I have another contradiction. A Braisa says, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechalias B'Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out on Shabbos, Koden B'Parashas Shkolim, then we read Parashas Shkolim, U'machtirin B'Yehoyada HaKoyen. And Aftara is the story of Yehoyada HaKoyen, which we begin by Yichus Yehoyada, which talks over there about how they renovated the Bismikdash, how they collected Matzah Shekel and renovated the Bismikdash in the time of Yehoyada HaKoyen. So, the Shleim Alamanda Omakisisa. So, according to Shmuel, it's easy to understand. Hainan de Makhtirin be Yahyadakarin de Dami Lay. Then we see there's a great similarity between the words of Kisisa and the Haftarah, Yiftiv Keshef Nashis Erkai. Because in the section by Yahyada, it mentions the money of the soul of the Erech, the amount that the person donated to the Bismikdash, and you have a similar expression in Parashat Shkolim. But if you say that you're laying in the parish of Rosh Chodesh, me dummy, how is it similar? Again, in the parish of Rosh Chodesh, you have nothing mentioned as far as money. So how is it similar to the story of Yahyada? And the answer is, Kedir Tavi, it's similar to the way Rav Tavi said, because since the purpose of the Matzah Shekel is to buy the Korbanos, well then, in that case, then there's a connection with that and the money that Yahyada raised in order to renovate the business. The Gemara says, Mesmi, I have a contradiction. Another Bryce says, Chalvius Parsha Smukhala, if Parsha Shkolim comes out on a Parsha that is near Parsha Shkolim, Ben Melachonero, Ben Melachonero, whether it's the Parsha before it or the Parsha after it, we'll talk about that more tomorrow. In other words, if Parsha Shkolim comes out on Parsha's Tetzave, or Kisiso, or Vayakel, so then, Koren Oysa, Vakoflin Oysa. So then we read it and we repeat it. So So if you say like Shmuel says that Parshas Shkolim is Kisisa, then we understand that time of year is in a regular year is around the time when you're laning Parshas Kisisa. So therefore, it makes sense you could have a scenario where you're laning it and then you're laning it again on the following Shabbos. But if you say Tzavas Korbani, that's from Parshas Pinchas. You learn that during the summer. It's nowhere near Parshas Shkolim. So what are we saying that you'd say it and you'd repeat it again? And the answer is, yes. Livnei Mar Rabba, Demaski Lo Raisa, the Plashni. for the people of Eretz Yisrael, where they had the minhag in those days, that they would finish the whole Torah in 3 years. They had much shorter parashiyos than we do, and they would learn the Torah on a 3-year cycle. So therefore, so for them, it did, for them, it could come out that as Kovani Lachmi could come out during the winter time, and it could be around the time of Parashas Shkolim. Okay, the Gemara ends up saying, Tanya Kavasei de Shmuel, we learn a Braisa like Shmuel's explanation, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechalias B'Shabbos, Koren Kisisa, Omachchirin V'yayada HaKoyen, so therefore it's very clear from that Braisa that Parashas Shkolim is Kisisa, like Shmuel says, not Sabbath B'nei Yisrael, like Rav says, and that's what it is, that's what Parashas Shkolim is. Those six Pesukim. Okay, we continue tomorrow, Beth Hashem.
So it's interesting, because they had